This is Hereabouts, Asian American Midwest Radio, broadcasted on WFHB. We air every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. Stay tuned for some more.
Hello, and thank you for listening to this week's episode of Hereabouts, Asian American Midwest Radio. Hereabouts is produced by WFHB and Indiana University's Asian Culture Center. We ask critical questions about identity, culture, community, and shared assumptions. We air every other Wednesday from 5:30 to 6:30 in the evening. My name is Karen Chang, and I'm with Intel Pintagao, and today we'll be talking about how we are opposites. So to introduce a little bit about me is that I'm a sophomore at Indiana University. My major is media, and a fun fact about me is that I like to read tarot cards. Okay.
Hello, everybody. My name is Intel Pintagao, and I am a recent graduate of Indiana University Bloomington. And a fun fact about me is I used to do Muay Thai for about 3 years when I was still in high school, but now I'm relearning again, so trying to stay on that fitness track.
Yeah, so when we came up with the topic of opposites, we noticed that we're kind of opposites in like our little personality traits, but also just kind of like our cultural backgrounds in a way. I am Chinese American and Intel is Thai American. Oh. Even though we're both Asian Americans, like our nationalities bring about different cultural backgrounds. So we wanted to talk about how that like manifests in our lives too. But to start off, like in terms of personality, Intel and I are opposites because I'm kind of like a type A personality where I'm very like uptight, organized. I like things in a routine. I can not be very spontaneous sometimes, whereas Intel is like kind of type B.
Yeah. And I forgot how the types work, but basically, like, I think they're just, like, characteristics. It's like some of Myers-Briggs. Like, it's not official. Mm-hmm. It's not official, but it's, like, a good, like, it's like basically a generalization. Like, let's say, like, Karen described type A. I'm type B. Well, she's more matter-of-fact, very detail-orientated. Me, I'm more of a big-picture type of guy. I mean, I do like the details, too, but I'm more, I guess, laid back. I'm very chill. Like, I can be spontaneous. Like, some people, they say it's like, oh, you need a plan for everything. But, you know, I'm just more go with the flow. Whereas, like, in some situations, I can stress her out. Because she writes in a planner, plans out her whole day. I'm just like, you know what? I remember I have a few meetings today. And I'll do my work here and there. I don't really plan everything in my day.
Yeah, I think, like you said, you don't always stress me out with your laid-back personality. And in a way, like, even though we're opposites, it really complements us in a way, and it really brings balance to each other. Like, you help me, like, relax and become more, like, laid-back and spontaneous, and that's something I need because, like, all this stress cannot be healthy for my body. Yeah. And then is there any ways I compliment you, babe?
Oh, yeah, like, definitely. Like, sometimes, like, I see you getting yourself stressed out, and I just want you to breathe and relax, but you definitely help me out with keeping things on track. Like, sometimes it's like, honestly, like, I will not deny that I'm an avid procrastinator, and I'm just like, yeah, it's no big deal. I'm the type that would be like, okay, I'll you know what, this essay's due in like a month, it's like 10 pages, and I start on it like 3 days before it's due. I still get an A though because I'm that good.
Smart.
I'm that intellect. No, but yeah, but like, you definitely keep me on track of like my work ethic, especially now that I have to do adult stuff. Mm-hmm. AKA like train for my new job. So
yeah,
I think like in Asian culture specifically, like, I feel as though there's a lot of like common like different superstitions, but like a lot of like, but like a common thing that I've seen in like America and like Europe is unlike in Asia, where they go off the Asian or Chinese zodiac. I see a lot of people going off like the Greek zodiac, and that's what, and Karen's really into that. Mm-hmm. So maybe you want to carry.
Yeah, yeah. So if you don't know much about astrology, is that like there's in like Western astrology, there's like 12 signs, and each one has like an opposite, and like your opposite sign, you either get along with really well because they bring about balance, or you guys can like butt heads a lot. But so like me and Intel, our zodiac signs are actually opposite of each other. He's an Aquarius and I'm a Leo. So we're similar in the ways that like Aquarius and Leo both love being in groups, but Aquarius might be a little more introverted, but they still care about like worldly justice more and stuff. Whereas like a Leo, they're like extroverted and get a lot of energy from being in groups. But we're different in the ways that like Aquarius kind of likes being in their shell a little more, whereas like a Leo likes to be like in the spotlight more. And like I said, like Aquarius is very laid back, but Leo might be like more high strung. So that's like the ways we're opposites in terms of astrology.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I can definitely see how that works out, because not only are we opposites in quote unquote like personality types, we're also opposites of the spectrum when it comes to zodiac signs. I like to tease her all the time, saying like, because some people hold like astrology and other stuff to a high degree, some are more skeptical. I'm sort of like in the middle, but I do like the teaser calling it all space magic, which it kind of is, but like...
Hey, I'm slowly converting you. The other day, I heard him explain what a moon sign was to his friend.
Just because I explained the definition does not mean I believe
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But anyway, like, at least I know, like, the general aspects of an Aquarius, like, we're kind of like, we low-key are kind of like aliens. Mm-hmm. Like, we're kind of weird people, yeah. Low-key, but we don't really show it. But we're very idealistic. Like, for me personally, I care more about the general themes and problems of the world. And this might sound a little harsh, but I care more about the general problems that affect everyone as a whole than some individual's problems. And I feel bad sometimes because my friends are talking about their everyday struggles, and I try to care. Or at least show like I care, but I'm too busy. Sometimes I caught myself as like, yeah, this is very first world problems, but then I was like, but just think about the world, which I think correlates with my major, but also, like, I do thrive in groups. Like, I become more extroverted when I'm in a group, but my social battery runs out pretty quickly, and I just get tired. I'm also introverted compared to Karen's mm-hmm. extrovertedness, so, but that doesn't mean I'm, like, an introvert all the time.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. But moving on from astrology, like, Asian superstitions... Like, are there any that you think are kind of different or similar between, like, Thai culture and Chinese culture?
I think mostly I'm not as well-versed in some Thai superstitions, but I do know, like, I believe in Asia, like, 4 is unanimously a very unlucky number.
Yeah, 4 is a very unlucky number in Chinese culture, too. So lucky numbers in Chinese culture, I think, are 8. My family, they own a Chinese restaurant. And when they were, like, picking out the phone number, they made sure to pick a phone number where the last digit was a number 8 to bring about, like, luck to the business.
What does number 8 usually mean?
I think it just, like, kind of means, like, luck and stuff.
Okay.
And, like, fortune.
Yeah, I mean, there's, like, different superstitions in Thai culture, like, at least for Southeast Asians, or maybe, like, a lot of different, like, Asian cultures. But, like, when I was younger, my parents always used to say, like, oh, don't, like, whistle at night.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's, like, if you whistle at night, apparently that draws in the bad spirits. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, you can get a little spooky, a little haunted. I, for one, me personally, I do believe in the paranormal because I've had experiences. But we can talk about that in another episode, or this episode if we have time, about my spooky experiences. But... something I'm not sure is in other Asian countries, but in Thailand specifically, we have a color coordinated days. So, like, each day is a specific color. And basically, the day of that color means it's like, oh, if you wear this color, it's lucky. But it can also mean, like, another color is also unlucky. So, for example, like, Mondays, like, actually, what day is it? It's Sunday. Sunday's lucky color is red.
Mm-hmm.
So if you wear red, it's a good lucky color. But on the opposite end, like, I think, I don't know what the unlucky color is. It may be blue or, like, white or something. Mm-hmm. So basically every day has a lucky color, but also has an unlucky color
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that.
Yeah, there are definitely the concept of unlucky colors in Chinese culture, because I know that white is, like, a funeral color. And so people try to avoid wearing white as much as they can.
I guess it's, like, it's different on how, like, each Asian culture carries it. Because I think, like, a lot of, like, superstitions. Like, is there anything specifically your parents would tell you when you were younger? Anything superstitious, like?
Honestly, I think we're opposites in that term. Because I feel like my parents never told me anything about, like, the paranormal. They never really told me spooky stories or superstitions. Maybe they didn't care enough to tell me. Or they just, like, didn't want to scare me as a little kid. But, yeah, so since my parents never really told me spooky stuff like that, when I went to, like, elementary school and, like, I was hearing scary stories on the bus from my classmates, I got, like, really spooked out because that was my first time hearing stuff like that. I just, like, remember, like, when I was, like, I would tell my mom, like, I'm scared to, like, be alone in this room because of what I heard at school.
Oh, yeah. There's a bunch of different ones, and I was just looking up, like, some other Thai superstitions that, like, my parents had told me, and one is interesting to see because I'm not sure if any of this is actually true because mm-hmm. I've never talked to, like, too many Thai people about superstitions, but one that I always, like, that actually happened to me was back when I visited Thailand with my father. Every time we would pass a shrine, or I think it was a gravesite or either or, is that a shrine or curve, we would honk. And
you have to honk?
Yeah, it's just like it's mostly a superstition. It's like basically a shrine or a curve is basically just like it'll make people alert.
Mm.
Especially when driving a curve, because sometimes it's dangerous, but also honking for like near a shrine, mm-hmm. is basically showing the souls or like spirits that live there some respect, because you recognize that they're in that area.
Makes sense, yeah.
So it's like my family, they live, most of them live in like the northern part of Thailand, mm-hmm. like past Chiang Mai.
Yeah.
And it's a very mountainous region, basically like rice farmers and stuff like that. And like every time we would pass a shrine, my family would just honk their horns.
I've never even heard of that before. That's cool. That's interesting.
Also, they also tell me never to point at rainbows.
Point at rainbows?
Yeah,
really?
Like not to point at a rainbow because your finger might fall off.
I've never heard of that before.
I don't know the context of it, but there's other stuff. And also, like, I think it's kind of taboo, but apparently, like, you know how, like, I think it's just a common courtesy amongst like most people, but especially in Asian culture, like, you know, especially when you're having like a family style dinner, like, you know how it's like no one takes the last piece?
Yeah.
But apparently in like some Thai homes or something, if you take the last piece, usually that means you're gonna get some luck.
Mm.
The lucky person will finish the last piece.
Oh, okay.
And apparently I've noticed this, I never got my hair cut on a Wednesday. And apparently in Thai cultures, it's unlucky to have your hair cut on a Wednesday.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know why, though. Speaking of all these superstitions and stuff like that, like, there's a lot of different similarities and oppositions and differences between, like, different superstitions in the Asian culture. But you know what I find, like, the most differences in variety in, like, basically any culture? Is the food.
Oh, yeah, cuisine.
Yeah, the cuisine. The cuisine and food, because everybody loves food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like, me and Intel, we eat together all the time, we cook together all the time, but
mm-hmm.
the flavors we enjoy eating is, like, something that we both have to adjust to. Like,
yeah.
Intel, you know, he came from a Thai family, so they eat spicy everything, and, like, Intel will add spice to the dishes we make together, and I'm like, my mouth is burning, I can't feel anything, and I'm like, my eyes are watery, and then Intel's like, I don't taste anything.
Yeah, it's actually pretty funny. It's like, I don't, it's because, like, everybody has spice tolerance differently. I'm not saying every Thai person is good with spices, but I'm saying a majority do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like, I'll be just adding some, like, you know, chili flakes and stuff like that, and, like, when I'm cooking with her, and, like, the first few weeks when I was cooking for her, it was really bad because she wouldn't be able to finish the
yeah.
food, and she would just give it to me, and I feel so bad. And she's like, do you not think it's spicy? And I just look at her, it's like, because most of the time I put like stuff like Thai chilies,
mm-hmm.
and like a chili powder in mine, but I'm just putting like chili flakes, you know, the stuff you put on your pizza and like different stuff like that, or like paprika and stuff
mm-hmm.
like that. I'm like, I look at her, it's like, I literally don't taste anything. There's no spice. It actually tastes kind of sweet to me.
Yeah, I think I've gotten used to it. My spice tolerance has gotten better. And I kind of enjoy putting the red chili flakes on my food now, because it adds a little kick.
There you go. You got to convert them.
Yes,
slowly.
The spicy euphoria.
The spicy, yeah. If you guys didn't know, there's a thing called a spice high. So if you ever, for all my like track and cross country people, there's something called a running high. It's like that, but with spices. Like,
yeah,
you,
I definitely have.
It's
experience.
It's like spicy to the point where it's just like you just feel, it's almost like an out of body experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it hurts, but it's great.
Yeah, it's crazy. But I think the reason why I'm not very used to eating spicy food is because my family is from Fuzhou, which is like southern China, and the cuisine there is kind of more like sweet and like fragrant and stuff. So I like that type of food.
Mm-hmm.
And like, have I ever really made you much Chinese dishes or like eating stuff like that? I mean, like the peanut butter noodles.
Like besides like the peanut butter noodles, and I think it was a manto.
Yeah.
I don't think you made much, but I haven't. Made
I don't
much.
Know how to make much either.
It's okay. I haven't. There's not many ingredients here around here. There's like no like really like expansive like Asia market here,
mm-hmm.
so I can't even make many of my Thai foods that I want. Like I don't even know like where you can get like authentic chilies and like different stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like I feel like it's a sin for me to try to like make something from like a Kroger's and try to make myself an authentic
Thai
dish.
I mean, the international market.
Even then, they don't have that much stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah.
At least for me.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of that, like when you said like your family's from Fuzhou, I feel like every country, especially in Asia, like even though it's just like you can label something as like, oh, that's Chinese cuisine, or like that's a Chinese dish. Like I know, like with each section, same thing as Thailand, Japan,
like a regional.
Yeah, there's different regional cuisine, different regional dishes. Like, I think it was in Sichuan. Yeah. Me personally, I don't mess with Sichuan food, even though I like spicy food. Because I don't like peppercorns.
Oh.
Like, I never understood that concept. It never got to me. It's just like, oh, it's so spicy. It numbs your tongue. I'm like, no, it's not spicy. It just numbs my tongue.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't a spice I can enjoy. It's like, why can't I enjoy it? It's like, if my tongue is numb, I'm not going to be able to taste anything. Yeah. So why do I enjoy it? I don't know, man.
It's like interesting. There's like different types of spices. Oh yeah. My gosh, a whole episode about spice.
Honestly, like, because it's like Asian spice, depending on the country, is not the same as, let's say, like, Mexican or Latinx spice, or let's say European spice.
Yeah, mind-blowing. Seasoning.
Seasoning. That's why we're here, to add some seasoning to your week. Do you have any preference of, like, cuisine when it comes to, like, the different regions of China, or let's say Asia in general?
I like all of it, honestly. Maybe, like, the not-so-spicy stuff, like the sweeter, sweeter dishes.
For me personally, like, in Thailand, like, my family's from the north, and apparently the north is, like, the most culturally heavy, because we have so many, like, temples and stuff like that. But we also have, like, in my opinion, the best food, just because of, like, the variety and spices. But I feel as though it's, like, that's special for, like, any Asian country. Like, I love some Japanese, some Indonesian, Filipino, Cambodian, all... The world has so many different, like, cuisines and foods. It's just, like, honestly, like, if I was able to live so much longer, I want to be able to explore every country.
Same,
just to eat.
Yeah. I feel like, now that we're talking about all this, I mean, like, we both really enjoy eating. I feel like there's not many things that could be, like, said opposite about us.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like we have a lot of similarities, you know?
I mean, opposites attract, too. And it's just, like... But, no, it's, like... you can find, sometimes it's like when you're too busy looking for opposition, you can find more similarities in opposition.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, because it's like, food is something that brings everyone together, because it's like, as Asian Americans, like, as sometimes it's like when you're growing up and you realize you can't speak your language, which is like, it holds like a sort of like mental block on you as well, because it's like, it's a little embarrassing, like, it's almost like self-humility, and I felt that a lot growing up. But what I came to realize with a lot of Asian Americans, whether it be language or, like, how strict our parents were, or our lifestyles, whether it be, like, socioeconomic and everything, the one thing that I know that brings everyone together is food.
Yeah.
Even no matter how opposite it is.
Mm-hmm.
But besides the food and stuff like that, another thing that I realize is, like, it's also the way of life of how people live, because it's, like, all that food comes from somewhere, and that just comes from a bigger culture, so... I always want to see, like, how different, like, let's say, a Thai lifestyle or mentality is to compare to a Chinese lifestyle or mentality, or any other country's mentality. And do you want to take it away?
Yeah. I feel like in Chinese families, like, elders are really respected. Like, that plays along with, like, Confucianism. That was, like, a philosophy that really, like, shaped Chinese culture, too. And I see that in my own family, too. Like, my grandparents live with me, so my parents take care of them, and we... take care of them too, and I feel like that has kind of made, like, gender roles too, in a way. I'm not, like, a professor about this, so don't quote me on anything, but I just know that, like something that a lot of East Asian countries are, like, reforming about, like, the younger people are being more open about gender roles, but, like, it's still, like, something that's been backed with, like, thousands of years of history, and it'll be, like, really hard to break. But I think you mentioned before that, like, in Thai culture, people are a little more, like, liberated.
There's been political strife in Thailand, and I just want everybody to know about it. Like, basically, people's freedom is being taken away. Back then, Thailand used to have, like, a lot of freedom, but there's a military junta going on right now, and I hope, like, everybody in Thailand can not only fight, but vote for their freedom, because, like you said, like, in Thailand, like, Thailand is a majority, like, because does China have a major religion? I believe most people there are agnostic, right?
I think so.
Yeah, but in Thailand, I believe over 90% of the population, or at least 99% of the population is Buddhist, and practices some sort of Buddhism, in a way. Like, for me, and I'm Buddhist. And in Thailand, in general, like, I think, like, for us, it's almost like the different practices of Buddhism. It's like, you treat someone else how you want to be treated, just be courteous, be respect, be kind to everybody. And if not, like, you can joke with your friends, of course, like, but that's just coming from my Asian American mentality. But, but like, a lot of people in Thailand, it's more of a go with the flow country. It's just like, it's, I mean, Thailand is called the land of smiles for a reason. It's one of its many nicknames. And especially like with different aspects of society, like for Thailand itself, like when it comes regard to different stuff such as the LGBTQ plus community, Thailand has had the stereotype of quote unquote, and I apologize for using this term, ladyboys, which are basically like transgender people. Mm-hmm. And like people in Thailand, they don't really care. Mm-hmm. About like whether whatever ends of the spectrum you fall on, whether you're transgender, gay, bisexual, what. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, Thai people do not care, because your existence, unless you are directly harming me, mm-hmm. your existence and your actions should not leave an effect on me.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, even though, let's say if someone's opinions mm-hmm. of, let's say, someone on the spectrum is negative, they still have the humility of not interacting with them, because yeah. it's like, there's no harm that other person's going to bring to you unless they're actually bringing harm to you. Their existence should not like offend you, because you don't have to be involved with their life.
Yeah.
So why would you insert yourself into their life? And I think Thailand's been like that at all. It's like, we just accept who you are and you just like live out your truth. But I do hope for the country itself, the government gets better, because there's clownery going on over there. And I don't have, and this new generation, we're loud and strong. So we can also talk about the differences that, let's say, someone who's born over there compared to who comes to a different country. Because as Asian Americans, we have our differences, especially when we come into college, meeting someone who's from either the motherland mm-hmm. or from another Asian country as an Asian international. And I've had my experiences and my own opinions, and I've studied this a little, but Karen, do you want to talk about your observations yeah. and experiences?
Yeah, I have a lot of Asian American friends on campus, but I've always wanted to make like a close friend from like China or like an international student, and I haven't really found that close friendship yet. Maybe hopefully one day I will, but I think a lot of it that is a barrier is just like cultural differences. Like, you might not understand the same inside jokes, or you're not sure how personable you can get. I think like a lot of students who go to big colleges can see this, is that there's definitely a divide between like Asian Americans and like the international students. Because, like, yeah, like I said, there's, like, cultural differences, and it's so hard to, like, bridge that together sometimes. It does take a lot of work, and it's not impossible. But I know you worked in the Office of International Services at IU, right?
Oh, yeah, I did. Big shout-out to my former bosses, Katie Goodrode and Maylin Boone. They're amazing, amazing women who are continuing to serve at the Office of International Services at IU, and... Yeah, from my experiences, and this is just my observations and opinions and, like, stuff that I would talk about in, like, Asian American studies courses and just, like, classes in general about international studies, is that, like, sometimes, and just working with OIS, it's just, like, sometimes it's, like, a lot of international students actually do want to reach out, but, like, it comes with the opposition of not only, like, culture, but also communication, because it's, like, it's one of those things where it's just, like, a mentality, in my opinion, it's just, like, let's say if I, as an Asian American, was put into, like, an international school in, like, Germany. I don't know the language, I don't know the culture as much, maybe, and I'm kind of, like, uncomfortable and miss home. But I want to make friends, mm-hmm. but I just feel as though it's just, like, from my experiences, my culture, they may ostracize me. But that may not be the case. And I feel as though, like, besides, like, Asians and Asian Americans, it's, and, like... It comes from, like, an international student versus a domestic student mm-hmm. level, because it's, like, I've had, like, experiences from friends and people who aren't Asian or domestic, but are domestic students, will be like, hey, I wanted to really talk to this international student because, you know, like, they look lonely and I wanted to make friends, but I feel like they didn't want to talk to me. And I've had, like, the same reaction from international students, like, I really want to talk to this domestic student and try to reach out and be your friend, but I don't think they want to talk to me and stuff like that. It's like preconceived notions yeah. in people's minds. It's like, you guys just gotta talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like that awkwardness is just breaking the ice. It's okay to be awkward, but at least like you let the other party know like you're trying to make an effort. But if they don't want to get to know you, that's fine. Just move on to the next person. But But, like, at least, like, you know, like, you did your best to, like, clearly communicate that you wanted to, like, comfort them and, like, give them a safe space.
Yeah, like, as during your time working at the Office of International Services, do you have any, like, personal stories about, like, how you noticed, like, the differences between, like, international students and domestic students, or any, like, good stories from that time?
I do. It's mostly, like, outside of, like, my... hours working there. Like, sometimes I would set up events, mm-hmm. like help work with World's Fair, which is the international, like, fair, mm-hmm. for, like, different, to show other world cultures, like, their culture pretty much. Yeah. And, like, I would talk to some international students, get to know them, and it's just like they're just like regular people.
Yeah.
Honestly, just like any other person. It's just that, like, it's just like it's hard for them. And so I think it would be hard for anyone if you're in a different country, in a culture not your own. Like, that's why, like, some people, like, they have these cultural clubs here so people can get a sense of normalcy for home.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like they don't have, like, other friends outside of it. It's just that, like, you know, like, distance makes the heart grow fonder, and, like, they might want to, like, stay with, like, let's say, like, Japanese person from Japan may want to stick with more to some clubs like GSA because they have a sense of their culture. Mm-hmm. But other than that, like, most other students, like, they just get along with everybody, or at least they try to, because it's like, it's college. Like, this isn't some high school drama. It's not that deep. Like, if you don't like someone, you don't have to hang out with them. But mm-hmm. if you want to get to know someone, you get to know someone. So
yeah, friendships definitely take not just time but also effort.
What goes through your mind when you talk to, like, let's say, like, an Asian international student? Like, do you have any, like, preconceived notions or something like that?
Not any preconceived notions, but I feel like I act kind of more formal around them because I don't want them to think of any, like, negative stereotypes about me. But that it could be, like, a preconceived notion that they are going to think negative stereotypes about me.
Yeah.
And I feel like, depending on, like, their English fluency, it may, like, change, like, how I speak or how slowly I speak, because naturally I'm a pretty fast speaker. You could probably tell by this podcast episode. Yes. I feel like, yeah, definitely when I try to befriend, like, international students, I feel like I do. I am a lot more hyper-conscious about the way I'm acting.
I hope no one else goes through this, but I personally, like, had, like, situations where it tore down, like, my morale, where it was, like, I would speak to, like, a Thai person. It's, like, luckily there's no one at, like, this university that I talked to, but, like, when I used to, like, go back to, like, other, like, neighborhoods with Thai people and, like, it's kind of, like, sad, or, like, in Thailand, it's just, like, oh, they don't recognize me as Thai,
mm-hmm.
and they would say that to my face, because I'm, like, oh, what do you mean? It's, like, because you grew up in America, and you're born in America. I'm, like, yeah, I recognize that I'm American,
mm-hmm.
but I'm still ethnically Thai, and I'm trying to, like, embrace my own culture, but it's, like, it's hard when you try, and your intentions are good, but you get rejected by, like, your quote-unquote very own people, because I think that's what a lot of Asian Americans go through. Like, you're too Asian for Americans, but you're too American for Asians.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that affected me growing up, but now I realize it's just, like, those are the opinions of people who are too stuck in their ways.
Mm-hmm.
And, because, like, sometimes...
Can't accept change. Can't accept opposition.
Exactly. And some Asian Americans are like that, too. Like, I've met some Asian Americans that are self-hating, and it's just, mm-hmm. like, they don't embrace their culture, because it's, like, I've been rejected, or it's just like, so it's like, let me reject you as well. Or they just grew up without, like, being around them.
Yeah. So after, like, talking about all those topics, from, like, our individual differences in personality to, like, our cultural backgrounds in terms of cuisine and, like, mentality versus, like, and then also, like, our experiences with students from other countries, I think we've learned that, like, opposites may initially bring about, like, a lot of differences and conflict, but they can also be a source of bringing us together, because we can learn a lot from our stories.
Yes, I agree 100%.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Hereabouts, Asian American Midwest Radio. Hereabouts is produced by WFHB Community Radio and Indiana University's Asian Culture Center. We ask critical questions about identity, culture, community, and shared assumptions. We air every other Wednesday from 5:30 to 6:30 in the evening. Please stay tuned for our episodes in the future. This was Karen Chang and
Intel Pintago.
And we hope you enjoyed this week's episode.
Thank you for listening to Hereabouts, Asian American Midwest Radio, broadcasted on WFHB. Again, we air every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. Stay tuned for some more. See you next week.